Hello and welcome. This is David Grossman on Blog Talk Radio. We're on the air here, and the topic of today's show is make money in commercial real estate today. No, really, we're not kidding, because let's face it, people want to make money today. It's not what it's all about. And my good friend and commercial realtor, Ernest Furtado, who's on the line with us, will tell you that for sure, because he's a man of a lot of experience. But he's a man of a lot of value, too, and I've really gotten to know him over the past little while. And he's quite an exceptional person, so I'm really happy to have him with us. And this is a call-in show. So if you want to call in at some point, if you have questions for Ernest or for me or for Matt Gonzalez, who's our second guest, and he'll be joining us in a little while. Matt is from Foremost Financial, which is a Toronto mortgage lending company, and their specialty is loaning on construction financing. So I thought that would be kind of neat to learn a little bit about construction financing and what that's all about. So again, if you want to call in, you should be able to see the telephone number on the screen, but just in case you don't see it, the call-in number is 760-539-3241. So I'm going to introduce our first guest, Ernest Furtado. He's a sales rep, executive director of commercial by Royal LePage. He's had all kinds of experience, about 30 years. I don't mean to date you here, Ernest. You look a lot younger than you are. I didn't think you were a year over 25 when we first met. You've built up a lot of teams, so you've done a lot of variety of commercial real estate, from design, build, development, managing properties, all the way through the project and through the investment stage as well. Welcome to the show. Great to have you here, Ernest.
Thanks, David. This is great to be here. And I did start real estate when I was about 5 years old, so you're not far off.
I guess so. I guess you did. Yeah, you'd have to be if you started, if you were, 30 now. We probably got a number of realtors on the line with us, residential realtors, maybe some commercial realtors too, and perhaps some just, regular people who want to learn about commercial real estate. And we've promised people we would talk about how to make money. But first of all, tell us a bit about yourself. I mean, how did you get into real estate, and why commercial real estate?
Well, David, I wasn't joking. I think real estate has been in my blood since as far as I can remember. I was, building tree houses and forts and designing, and all through my teen years working in sort of hardware stores and working in construction sites. I've been in the real estate industry as far as I can remember, and always with the passion of development. So the development part of the business is always intriguing to me. So when I was in my early 20s trying to figure out what the heck I was going to do in life, the best advice I got was obviously, find out what you love to do and then go and do it and make money, enjoy it, never work a day in your life. And also, it was got into the real estate business as a flipper. And the gentleman who actually mentored me a little bit said, if you want to be a builder, at that time, I didn't know about developers. I knew builders. And so you should go get your real estate license and you learn to buy and sell real estate, and then you can do your thing and also make money doing some sales. So that's how I got into it at around the age of 21. And that made a lot of sense to me, and we've been doing that ever since. And back in the day, being 21 years old and broke, so the next course, once I got my real estate license, is, how to buy real estate with no money down theory. It is a theory. There is opportunities to buy real estate with no money down, but, I mean, somebody's putting the money down. And so, the OPM, other people's monies, is how we went about it initially. And you'll hear me always speak about we and us. It's always been because of a team. So be it real estate, whatever we're doing. In today's society, if being a one-person show is a challenge, especially residential realtors can attest to that. Commercial realtors are sort of a little bit more accustomed to working in teamwork and sharing, a deal four or five ways, whatever it is, two, three ways for sure on most deals. because you need that team. You know, I would say 95% of residential deals are on MLS, but unfortunately, mm-hmm. less than 30% of deals on the commercial side. Not unfortunately, there's reasons for that, but you know, get into the commercial side. And usually, deals
right.
that go on MLS, the commercial deals that go on MLS, is just because they've been, not all of them again, but most of them, you know, they've been through the exclusive or open listing market first, and then once that has not gone. So typically a deal, not always, but most of the time, a deal that's gone on a commercial side, it's gone MLS, it's had its season trying to do, you know, behind the scenes. And so then they put it out in MLS. And typically, they're not the better deals that we find out there for sure. So, you know, it's not what you know and who you know. It's who you know and, you know, what kind of deals you can get. But, I mean, I think
right.
the topic today is not so much
yeah.
about those kind of things, but, you know, commercial versus residential. What is commercial? You know, that's probably
what
the
is commercial and how can people profit from it? Because, you know, it's a very, I mean, I understand there's 45,000 realtors in the greater Toronto area. And the vast majority of them, I would expect, are doing residential real estate. And, you know, there could be opportunities for them either to branch out into commercial real estate or find somebody like yourself to work with and, you know, to help scout deals and refer, which is something that we want to talk about today. So, I mean, how do people spot deals out there? I mean, can an ordinary residential agent find them?
Yes. I call it the, you know, you can't see the forest for the tree in front of your face because, you know, that's you get so used to only looking at certain things or what you hear, you're focusing on the residential side. And if somebody brought you a commercial deal or you know, you probably wouldn't see the opportunity because that's not what you're looking for. You know, the analogy of you go out and buy a car, and once you decide what car you want to buy, you see those cars all over the place. They're always been there, but now that you're more aware of them. So just to recap what you said, there's, as far as I know, there's close to 42,000 residential realtors in TREB, or realtors in TREB, Toronto Real Estate Board, and under 3,000 of those are registered with the commercial side, with the TREB commercial. So you can see there's a huge gap over there. And a lot of those, not that there's not other people doing commercial, there's a lot of residential doers, what we call ResCom agents out there that sort of, you know, play both sides of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been, and for most of my career, I would say for the first third of my career, I did a lot of that. And I'm grateful for that because it gave me the experience. So I understand the residential market. And obviously after 32 years full time in commercial, you know, in real estate world, I understand the commercial world a lot. So there's a gap there. You know, I shared with you the story that, you know, we're going to write a book called, you know, residential realtors are from Mars and commercial realtors are from Venus. And, you know, and I speak Martian, and so,
right.
and vice versa. So there's, Here's the opportunity for this call, you know, for the people that, I don't care if you're a commercial agent or a residential agent, or if you're not an agent, there's even better opportunities out there, but that's another conversation for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But for sure, both parties leave a lot of money on the table, especially the residential people, because they're selling people houses that are either own businesses or, you know, once you sell somebody a house, they're there for 3, 4, 5 years, sometimes a lifetime. What other opportunities are available? So in our team, we have a personal team of over 32 people now. And the number one, you know, obviously an expertise in something. And also, but we're all
pushing.
These are
32 commercial agents or residential agents?
They're mostly residential agents
that were
part of the team. I've been brought on board with myself and Simeon to develop our commercial side of our team. When I joined the team, the Real Estate Center team, their primary focus has been residential real estate with some focus on investment, and both, again, realizing that, you know, our between 20 and 25 realtors who come across potential commercial deals are either trying to attempt to walk through the minefield. Some of the deals could be a minefield, and really hurt themselves, hurt the client primarily, hurt the industry at large, the brokerage, and so on and so forth, because, you know, under the Business Brokers Act, you're not supposed to be doing anything that you're not, you don't know how to handle, right? So, but a lot of people.
Okay, so how do they help, as opposed to hurting themselves, how do they help themselves, and is it just about, how do they spot business owners and people who might be potential investors in real estate?
Well, here's one quick quiz is, you know, 100% of nothing is nothing, and 25% of something is something. And so if you don't know what you're doing, and so you partner up with somebody, you know, in typical referrals, 25, and it can even be, you know, we work at least from, we work from 10% to 50%. That's, and there's a conversation there. So if you give me a tip, you know, I'll give you 10 points if we make a deal. If you have a proper lead, like what is a referral? You know, somebody who you know, and it's a warm market, and you have a relationship with this person, and you can introduce to me an opportunity to deal with them. And so to me, that's a referral. So that's typically in our industry, as you know, as a 25% referral. And that's pretty much the standard rule of thumb that we use, not only locally, but we do global real estate. So we do this all over the world. And so we're working on deals. Our claim to fame has been able to create a professional network that we've created over the last two decades, for sure. We've been focusing on that. So partnering up with somebody as an expert. If you look at a doctor who's a general practitioner, but they always send you to a specialist. So, you know, you're going to refer me a, you know, an industrial unit or industrial park, or, you know, be it a business for sale, and you don't have a clue. So you're wasting, you know, most of realtors would just tell me, oh, I don't like commercial because it's very hard to make a deal, very hard to close a deal, and most of the time they don't close. Well, if you don't know what you're doing, that's very true. Are they potentially fall apart? Yes. But, you know, if you know what to expect, you can see those signals right up front. A lot of deals that people are spending a lot of time and energy, they have no business doing anything on that deal. I could have told you right up front it's not going to be a viable deal, but they have to spend, they don't know better. So they're spending a lot of time, wasting their time, frustrating all the parties involved, especially, you know, we're here to service the clients. And so at the end of the day, okay, you lose your client, you lose your credibility, you waste your time, and you get nothing. And so partnering up with a specialist.
Okay, so there's the potential for people to spot these leads and then work with an agent such as yourself or refer the deal. But how do they spot these leads? I mean, what kinds of questions? And maybe there's some seeds that can be planted. I mean, I would assume that there could be some business owners out there that may not even think that, you know, maybe they should be looking into buying a commercial condo unit for their business, for example, or instead of renting the warehouse that they've been renting for a long time, maybe they should be considered buying. I mean, how does a realtor plant these seeds to start with?
Well, you know, the commercial side is a very, you have to do your due diligence. So how do you spot a deal? You know, anything over a fiveplex is considered a commercial deal. So let's just come back to what is commercial. You know, you're looking at industrial, land, retail, you know, a business brokerage, you know, investment in office space. Those are your sort of six pillars per se. And underneath each one of those, there's a whole slew of other categories underneath. So, you know, industrial alone, you have warehousing or manufacturing and some other, you know, land, you're looking at development land, infill land, agricultural land, you know, retail, depending what kind of retail that you need. You know, businesses, I don't know, every business in the planet, from mom and pop, a variety store to, you know, buying a huge multi-million dollar manufacturing plant, or be it sort of any company that you see being bought and sold, those are potential businesses.
Right.
The average person. Investments, good Lord, I mean, there's everything, you know, from any kind of investment that you invest in. Some people, I have clients that won't touch anything that has any one speck of residential component to it. They just want a commercial component to it, be it industrial. Other clients just want industrial base. Other clients just want office base. Others want a mixture of whatever. You look at a piece of land for development. That's an investment opportunity as well. Have you seen, you know, a lot of... you know, people talk about syndicated mortgages like it's something new. It's been around since I've been in business. You know, we were syndicating mortgage deals back in, you know, 30 years ago when there was no 5% and 15% down. It was 25% or nothing. So second mortgages and third mortgages and fourth mortgages was a common thing to get into business and to make deals happen. So those are, you know, office buildings. What kind of office? Class A office. You know, so you have a mega corporation. They want first quality, high quality office space. They need top of the line. Or is it just mama, papa, again, who, you know, guy wants just a place to hang his hat and you know, the consultant. He needs 600 or 200 square feet for that matter. You know, a desk and a shingle on the door. So for all of those opportunities, which is not. So commercial is anything that you practically don't live in. You know, so you're buying something that you're going to rent or you're going to use it for your business. That's a commercial real estate. And then, you know, beyond that, it's like, you know, we provide management services as well, some from project management, property management. And our favorite is obviously asset management. So we're doing the acquisition. We're looking after the building. We're looking after the tenants. We're looking after, you know, you've probably heard the terminology armchair investing. A lot of professionals would love to invest in real estate, just don't have the time. They feel they need to create another company. So, you know, if you're buying real estate as an investment and you're managing it, that's two businesses. You know, you're owning investment of real estate is one business and managing real estate is another business. And some people have no business running the other business. If you get what
okay,
my drift.
Ernest,
so,
if people want to learn more about commercial real estate so that they, you know, can do a better job scouting opportunities, A, and B, maybe it's a field they'd like to get into more. What suggestions would you have for them?
Well, mostly new licensed agents, I would say, especially in the last 15 years, you know, part of your qualifications that you have to take a course through TREB to get to your articling period. And a lot of people do take the commercial and have to partly. And so they get a taste of what are all these components that I've mentioned to you. And it's a matter of interest, you know, and if you don't have an interest, then you come to, and partner up with a commercial realtor like ourselves who provide mm-hmm. this kind of service. You know, some commercial people don't want to be bothered. And some commercial realtors are very specific. They're very, you know, they specialize in one field only. So, you know, to like if you have a guy who's, you know, you have a client who come across and they need industrial space and or warehouse space. And a lot of these guys are great. They're specialists, but they specialize in a specific pocket. So a guy who's an industrial specialist in Mississauga not necessarily can service your needs in Scarborough.
Right.
But it's not so much about location, but also the type of product. You know, I have agents in our team who are phenomenal, you know, experts in industrial. I mean, using this as an example, but they know nothing about retail. They know very little about development, you know, and they won't get involved. We have a team of a few members in our group, in our network, who specialize only in apartment buildings. So when they come across a different opportunity other than apartment building, they contact us and say, hey, listen, there's an industrial park. These guys want to sell it. It's an investment. We don't do that. You know, or there's a plaza, you know, a strip mall, you know, and we don't do that. So you guys handle it. And then the same thing for us. If we know there's somebody out there who needs an apartment building, well, obviously these guys are going to call first because they have their finger on the pulse of what the latest cap rates are, the latest rates of rents and, you know, what's going on out there because, again, you know, you can unless you focus on one specific area, you know, you're still a generalist, right? So you're all over the place.
So,
to answer your question,
you have a variety of people that you work with. So if somebody was to call you and say, "Look, I may have an opportunity for an industrial building in Mississauga, or an apartment building, or a land development in Scarborough, or whatever," you could connect them with the right people to run with the opportunity. Is that right?
Yes. And what we first do ourselves, because of our knowledge base that we have in house, we analyze the deal and make sure that we don't want to just refer deals to our network of junk per se, right? Because then
mm-hmm.
they get upset. they get bored. And a lot of commercial agents get very frustrated with, you know, residential agents because they're just referring pipe dreams, really. You know, when you know, it's like they don't have time to try to vent stuff out. So, like you said, if there's a development opportunity or an apartment building, you know, but the guy wants, like, you know, a ridiculous price per unit or a cap rate, doesn't make any sense. You know, so why bother somebody, you know, who's an expert type of thing? So we sort of do an analysis of the deal, and then we'll refer it to that person who's in the area. Because we do this overseas as well and outside of our area. So we do across Canada, all over the U.S. You know, we've done it in Central America, South America, and in parts of Europe. And so, again, same thing. We look at the deal. You know, the cool thing about commercial real estate, you know, it's one formula that applies everywhere. You know, 2 + 2 = 4 here, and it's 2 + 2 = 4 in India or UK or in France. It's still a numbers type of situation. You know, different markets, obviously, but at the end of the day, you want a return on your investment, or you have a budget for your business plan that only allows X amount of dollars for your rent. So those are the things that we analyze for people. You know, a lot of people want to buy a business. They don't have a clue what they're doing. You know, they don't have a business plan. They don't, you know, one of the reasons so many businesses fail, people just, you know, wake up one morning or, you know, they've been a cook in a restaurant for all their lives and all of a sudden they want to open up a business and be a, you know, a restaurateur. There's a lot more than just cooking. You know, you might be a phenomenal cook, but are you a good business person?
Right. So, if somebody knows somebody, or somebody who's listening is thinking about, you know, getting into commercial real estate, or they're buying a property for their own use, or as an investor, they can call you. You will personally help them vet the opportunity to see if it makes sense, and they have an opportunity to earn a good referral fee. I guess I think I heard you say anywhere between 10 and 50% subject to negotiation and based on the amount of upfront work that was done.
Yes. I mean, you know, here I'll give you an example. I created this for you, David. This is part of the training. We do a commercial 101 training for agents who want to dabble or at least be aware of if they heard about a commercial deal. Sometimes it's actually right in front of them and they don't see it. And so we provide that, you know, the sort of a commercial 101 in how to recognize that. We also become partners with residential people where they now we become their commercial partners where they can now go to their database and have them as, you know, their newsletter or part of their website is the commercial corner, and we come underneath them. So let's just take a quick example. If you sold a house for $500,000, so, you know, some areas obviously more, but I'm just giving this is just for illustration purposes, or in this case, verbal. But, you know, $500,000, 2.5%, you know, $12,500 is the commission. You know, and this can vary. In today's hot market, obviously, you're probably not spending. You could be spending, if you're working with the buyer, you could be spending 25 hours easily because you're multiple offers and multiple offers and multiple offers. You know, you're missing out on the opportunities. But let's just say you're spending 25 hours with this client from the first meeting to signing documents to the whole thing. And, you know, you're approximately clocking in at $500 an hour. Now, if you took that same $500,000 deal and it's still at 12.5% commission, you divide that by 4 and your $3,125 would be your 25%, and you spend an hour, maybe two, so you're looking, you know, $3,000 to $1,500 an hour. You know, so you've already quadrupled, tripled, you know, your money, so your time is valuable, correct? But now let's say you come across by some, you know, through your network or somebody, there's a $5 million deal. You know, we'd probably, let's say using, again, a simple analogy of a 2%, there's a $100,000 commission. 25% is a $25,000 deal. If you're spending an hour or two to connect it to a professional, man, you're making $12,000, $25,000 for an hour's work. Those are the
okay, so there's definitely some money to be made. If people are interested, like, tell us a little bit about this a commercial 101. What are you envisioning? Is this an in-person course? Is this a one day or one evening, or is this over a period of weeks? How would that look?
No, we in the past we've done this in class. You know, obviously with the new technology today, you know, I'm really dating myself, but in the past it's been in, you know, in a classroom or in a boardroom, depending on how many people sign up. We've had anywhere from 30 to, we did this to 1,100, you know, residential agents at one point. And
so,
you know,
is this like a 3-hour thing, or is this? Is this a 3-day thing, or 3 months?
I would say 2 to 3 hours. And so, what we do first is we sort of do a commercial 101. What is commercial real estate? And then we teach you the second part is we teach you how to become a referral agent, how to spot the deal, how to speak intelligently to the potential lead, you know, how to position yourself as a you know, an expert who deals with other experts. And, you know, so you're, again, a general practitioner of real estate, and you have professional and, you know, specialists in your team. So we become team. And for us, we don't care so much about the brand. You know, it's not REMAX with the, it has to be through a REMAX agent. We do deals with everything. If you look at the commercial deals, you know, we've just done a deal. There was 4 different brokers. There was 4 different agents. You know, it was $28,000 a piece. We don't care. You know, somebody knew somebody, and I knew a buyer that was looking for something, and this other agent knew the agent who knew somebody who had the listing. That's how we all got paid. And so it's a win-win
okay,
deal
so
for everybody.
Okay, so I think there's a very good opportunity for people who want to learn more about commercial real estate. And they, you know, people, if you're interested in attending an evening commercial 101, give us your feedback. Let us know how many people are interested, and we can set up a date for that. And if you want to talk to Ernest, give him a call. His number is 416-539-9977. Give him a call. Talk to him if you have an opportunity, or you want to find out more. Ernest Furtado, thank you very much. We have to move on because we have Matt Gonzalez from Foremost Financial. I think he's still on the line with us, and we hope to speak with you again soon, Ernest.
I look forward to it, David. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, Matt, are you there with us?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay, excellent. Matt's been waiting very patiently. Matt Gonzalez, he's a mortgage agent with Foremost Financial, and Foremost Financial is a Toronto lender, and their specialty is construction financing. And Matt, tell us a bit more about Foremost Financial. How long have they been around, and what kind of lending do they do?
So Foremost was established in 1987. And currently we have about $160 million portfolio spread across the Southern Ontario area. We like to stick to urban areas, so we lend in like the Greater Toronto area. We lend in Barrie, Guelph, Kitchener-Waterloo, and we've been moving out to Hamilton recently, but we still lend in Hamilton on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
And generally, we don't just stick to construction. We also do term loans on commercial and industrial properties.
Okay, so not just construction. You'll lend on just a regular commercial or industrial property. What type of loan size are you guys looking for? Is there a minimum threshold?
I would say $500,000 on a first mortgage, and probably about $400,000 on a second mortgage would be the minimum that we would look at.
Okay.
And the maximum is probably around $12 million.
Okay, so you're pretty flexible. Tell us a bit about how does a construction deal work? Because this is what I promise people, and I recognize you don't only do construction, but how does a construction deal work?
So it really would depend on the area, depend on the project. So for a single-family residential project, let's say somebody buys a home on a 60-foot lot, knocks it down, and severs the property into two different properties and builds two houses. So we would finance 75% of the land value, and then once they sever it, obviously it's worth more money as two lots. So we would finance, again, we would advance money up to 75% of the value of the two lots, and then we put a construction facility in place up to 100% of the hard construction costs until the project is finished.
That's very good. Now, I understand there are deals that banks won't loan on. I saw one recently that you guys were advertising. I love your marketing, by the way. Over the years, I've always enjoyed receiving your company's email. So the latest one was, we had faith in this project, and this was an old church that was converted, that you guys, that somebody was converting, a developer was converting into residential condos, I think. Can you tell us a little bit about that project and how you guys were able to help in a unique way where other more traditional lenders would not?
So the developers in this case, they purchased a church. Up until the time that they purchased it, it was actually an operating church, but with a congregation, and it was in the Junction Triangle area of Toronto. And then, so they had a vacant church structure, so they had to take it through the planning process in order to get approval from the City of Toronto to convert it into a condo project. And they received permission from the Committee of Adjustments, and one of the conditions were they had to leave the existing church structure as is. So it's a very unique project.
Was it a heritage property?
It wasn't necessarily a heritage property, but the City of Toronto wanted it to remain with the same character. So it's kind of a quasi property. It wasn't on the heritage list, but the city wanted to strongly believed in preserving it. So our developers decided to work with the city rather than going through the expense of going to the Ontario Municipal Board or raise the risk of the city putting it on the heritage list last minute. So in this case, they decided not to fight and kind of work with the city rather than against the city, which they kind of got some cooperation on their part.
So that's very interesting. I mean, they converted – this is an old building, I assume.
Yes.
And they converted
actually built
this into – Go ahead.
Into a residential condo. So it was a red brick neo-Gothic church, and it was completed in 1913. And it was from a prominent Toronto architect. So it was George Miller. And he also designed Massey Hall, the Gladstone Hotel, and Havergill College. So the city wanted to be kind of left in place. So
The
developers – oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful building. And so the developers are actually splicing up the church during their extensive renovation, and they're putting in 43 residential condominiums, and a lot of them are going to be two-story. So the floor plans are actually very unique in this church. They're making use of the existing frame and kind of building within it, and they're building a four-story ancillary structure next door to house additional units.
Is it risky to loan on these older buildings? I mean, I know that, you know, the character is great, and some people would probably love to live there, very charming. But, you know, were you concerned at all as a lender that, you know, what kind of surprises you might get along the way? Is that something that crosses your mind?
Well, we do have to do our homework, too. Like, we have a great deal more flexible than banks and other financial institutions because we don't use leverage, but we do still have to do our due diligence, though. So we had a phase one and phase two environmental report from a civil engineering company, and we had structural reports that we requested as well. And once we made sure, once we did our due diligence, we were okay with accepting the project. So it's not, we don't necessarily require a great deal of due diligence. We just want to do our homework to make sure that the project has every chance of succeeding. And if something doesn't have the chance of succeeding, we don't want to have to foreclose on a property or take it over or have to put any pressure on our borrowers. So we want our borrowers to be successful. So we ask for the due diligence necessary to make sure that from our side, we believe that the project will be successful.
Now, in this advertisement that you sent out, you know, you were saying that the sales were only around 50% at the time, and you guys agreed to loan when others weren't going to loan unless it was, I think, you know, I'm going from memory, but let's say 70 or 80%. sold. So, I mean, you know, obviously you did have faith in the project, which was very cute, entendre. But, I mean, as a lender, how do you make these decisions? I mean, I would assume the borrowers pay somewhat higher rate to get the money.
They do. So banks use leverage. So banks, so the money you and I have in our banking accounts right now, the banks have it guaranteed by the government of Canada. Mm-hmm. And they basically loan the money you and I have in the bank out to other projects, and they put a little bit of their own money in. So a typical bank is levered about 15 to 1. So they have very strict guidelines with that money, because if they were to lose money on a particular project or across their entire portfolio, all of the bank's equity would be wiped out. The bank would have to be bailed out by the government of Canada in order to cover the deposits. So because of all this leverage, banks just can't take on risk, and they're not allowed to by their regulator, which is OSFI, the Office, like the Superintendent of Financial Services. So it's a very strict regulator. They have a lot of great deal of conditions, a lot of bureaucracy to come in. So there's a lot of great projects that banks just aren't willing to finance because they can't afford to take on the risk because of their leverage. So there's other lenders out there called non-bank lenders, which I am one of them. And we finance projects that banks aren't willing to or don't do a good job of it.
All right. Well, that's very interesting. I mean, as a mortgage broker, I've seen many cases where banks will, you know, choose not to loan on certain projects. I mean, I was once told by a bank underwriter that even though the deal was very safe and the bank's money was safe, that, you know, they just wanted to see that the borrower was going to be able to service the debt, you know, because they don't want to be chasing the borrowers. It's just not the game they're in, even though the money, the loan was safe because, you know, there was so much equity in the project. So it seems that banks really have their hands tied, or they're, you know, they're looking to loan on a certain number of projects, which is why this alternative lending industry is very big, and I think probably a lot of these construction and commercial deals get funded by alternative lenders like yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. We have well over 100 projects right now across the city in various stages, so it is very prevalent right now, and it's becoming increasingly so.
All right, so it sounds like you guys have a very good thing going there. You've been around for a long time. How long did you say, 20 years?
Since 1987, so it'd be 28 years this year.
Right. So a very solid company, been around for a long time, and I hope we can do more business together, Matt. And if people are listening and they think they might have a project for Foremost Financial, give me a call. I'll vet the deal. I'll make sure it's right for Foremost, and hopefully we can get your project funded. Matt, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. Really appreciate it, and we'll hope to have you on again sometime.
Okay, thanks for having me on, David.
Very much appreciated. If you want to get a hold of either of the guests, you can call me at 416-876-2031, or if you need help with your mortgage, give me a call. Today we spoke with Ernest Furtado, sales rep. We learned all about commercial real estate projects and how you can make money and learn about commercial real estate. We also spoke with Matt Gonzalez, and we learned about what Foremost Financial does, kind of lending they do, how we can get your project funded. Give us a call. We would love to hear from you. And that's all we have for today. Until next time, I'm David Grossman. Bye for now.